Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, July 17th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Reagan Welch. Reagan is our student ministry resident. She is a Beeson student getting both her MDiv and her counseling degree, and she's a new friend of mine. I can't wait for you to hear more about Reagan's life and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, she'll read God's word for us. Thank you, Reagan, for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. Our first passage is Exodus 18, verses 13 through 27, and we'll be reading from the New International Version. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws, and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. Our second passage is Psalm 6. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace.
Thank you so much, Reagan, for joining the podcast and reading so beautifully for us. We're so excited that you are our student ministry resident. Can't wait to talk more about that. But first, want to learn a little bit more about you. Where did you grow up?
I grew up right outside New Orleans, Louisiana, in a town called Slidell.
Oh, I just went to New Orleans for the first time last year, believe it or not.
Really?
Yes, and had beignets and loved it. So next time you go home, let me know.
Oh, yes. I love all the food and the lovely music. It's a sweet part of home.
Yes, it is. All right. Tell me a memory or something that you think about when you think about growing up in Slidell.
Yeah, actually, getting to spend time around the youth recently has reminded me of my youth days. And just remind me how grateful I am that I had such sweet friends and such a great friend group growing up. Some of my friends were musical, so we would often gather around a piano and have a little worship night or a very high energy game night or practice some swing dancing. And I feel like the things that I learned to love as a youth are still the things I love to do today with my friends, just a little bit older now.
Now, that was going to be my next question. What are some things that you're into? So you love a good game night.
Yes. Oh, I love a good game night.
What are more some people, of the games the that you like?
I don't know if you ever played Fishbowl. It's kind of like Catchphrase. I love those things as well. Also, one of my favorite things to do is dance. I've been a dancer my whole life. I love tap dance and ballet and jazz and, like I said, swing dancing and hip hop. And that's been a sweet part of my life to continue into now. In undergrad, I got to teach a sweet dance exercise class, which was super fun with connecting with girls. And I love taking hip hop classes in Birmingham if I can find one, or dancing with my friends now that love to dance.
So. I have so many questions. Okay. First of all, how did you learn to swing dance?
You know, actually through friends. I think the first time I learned to swing dance is my older brothers went to Sanford. And when they went to Sanford, it was really big at Sanford. And I was still in high school. And they came home at one point and taught me some things, which is really sweet now that I think about it. But my friends just kind of took over our friend group. And we all would do it whenever we had dances and things like that.
All right. What else are you into?
Well, I love driving around and listening to music with the windows down. I try to be mindful who I'm driving by because the music is quite loud, but I love doing that. And that's any kind of music, worship music, or, you know, the new Taylor Swift, things like that. I also love a game night or walking on Jemison Trail with a friend. I always run into a friend at Jemison Trail, or going to Seeds Coffee or Cal Coffee to get homework done, but also do a little bit of socializing.
Remind me where you went to college and then also how you sensed a call or a prompting to ministry.
Yeah, I went to Sanford starting in 2019. And so I was a COVID college kid. But despite the difficulties of that, the Lord really used my college experience to actually call me into ministry. So when I came to Sanford, I was a business major, and then I was a communications major, and I think I looked at psychology at one point as well. I had a really hard time deciding where the Lord was calling me, what I was supposed to do with my life. But the thing that was consistent is that I had a biblical studies minor. I think I always knew that I loved to be a part of the church. I loved to study and teach God's word, but I just didn't have a vision for doing that as a career, as a woman. And believe it or not, for fun, because I knew the professor, I started taking Hebrew in undergrad and was only going to take it for a year. And by the end of that first year, I had changed my major to biblical studies. And I remember when I hit that change major button, I actually was really overwhelmed with a lot of fear, a lot of worry of, wow, biblical studies is a very narrow major. I am doing this thing. I'm going into ministry. But the sweetness of the way the Lord called me is that he knew it was something that was nerve-wracking for me. And so it's almost as if he removed all the other options and it was the only thing he gave me a vision for. And I am so grateful because that's actually how I found my way to BSIN as well. I was a part of something called a cadre. It's like a small group we have at Sanford, led by Kristen Padilla, who at the time was on staff at BSIN, and she wrote a book about women in ministry, and I got to have conversations with her as well about what does it look like to be a woman in ministry, and the Lord did all those things at the same time, and I'm really grateful.
I mentioned at the beginning that you're getting your Master's of Divinity at BSIN and also the counseling program there. Share with me a couple of nuggets that you are gaining in your study.
Well, the first thing I'll say about my experience at BSIN is something that I think anyone who spent at least a year there can testify to, that it's more than just the accumulation of knowledge, even though that knowledge is knowledge of God and it's incredibly important and one of my favorite parts. But the lifestyle of waking up every day and hearing the gospel and meditating on the gospel and being in community and talking with one another about the gospel has had a truly transformative effect on my life. And so when I think about who I was entering BSIN and who I will be leaving BSIN, I think about how much more deeply ingrained the gospel is into my heart and how I see myself and others and God thanks to the environment of BSIN. I mean, I've learned something important from every class. and even beyond knowledge, I've encountered God, like truly encountered God in my courses and in the environment, in the spaces, through the relationships.
In some of your coursework, have there been books that stood out that you would commend to us?
Actually, Beeson is the place where I found my all-time favorite book. In my late modern theology class, we read Till We Have Faces by C.S. Lewis. And Till We Have Faces is a fictional story written in journal form by the main character, and it's truly one of the best books I've ever read. It addresses the issues of shame and resentment towards God and others. The book starts with Oriole writing, "This is my accusation against God." Throughout the story, almost everything that she says as she tells her life story is just profoundly resentful and angry for not having what she wants in life. And she also is very deceived about herself. She wears a veil the entire story because of a profound sense that she's ugly and that no one can truly look at her. And I don't want to spoil it because it's such an amazing book. But as she sets out to write an accusation against God, she ends up encountering the mercy of God in the process and truly facing who she is and who God is. So I highly recommend it. And the week of class that we talked about this book, I was so impacted that I ended up leaving class and going to this pond on campus where there aren't a lot of people and spending maybe an hour in prayer and worship. And I don't say that to sound spiritual, but I just truly encountered the Lord through stepping into this story. And I think the reason I love this book so much is that one of my passions is counseling and teaching from the perspective of spiritual struggles, whether that's doubt or questions about the Lord or questioning God's character, because I believe, just like David in the Psalms, when we truly face our true feelings, our true thoughts, our true questions about the Lord, I believe that he responds and I believe that he shows up just like he did for Oriole.
As we've been talking about Beeson, I'm wondering if there's anybody on staff at Beeson that's had a profound impact on your walk with the Lord.
Yeah, actually, the director of the counseling program, Dr. Gordon Bowles, he's largely the reason I ended up adding that program. So when I came to Beeson, I was originally just pursuing a master's in divinity. And then I sat in one of his classes and was really impacted by his own internalization of the gospel and the way that he taught how the gospel is incredibly relevant for the counseling room. And the reason I added that degree is just wanting to grow in my skills of sitting across from people, hearing their stories, and articulating the gospel's relevance to them and the truth of God's word to them in those spaces. And Dr. Bowles has not only taught incredibly well, his classes are competitive to get into, they're amazing, but he's also gone out of his way to get to know me personally. He knows a lot about my life because he has left that door open, and I am very grateful for his wisdom and his prayer and encouragement towards me. And he's also gone out of his way to affirm my call to ministry, which is an encouragement I've often really needed. So I'm very grateful for him.
Reagan, you've been on staff with us a whopping 5 weeks. We're so glad that you're here. What is something in the student ministry that you guys have done recently that has brought you joy?
Yeah, well, one of my favorite phrases of the summer that Joel has us saying often is, "Summers are for serving." And so we've done a couple serve days recently at Cornerstone Schools. And the reason I've loved those serve days is the combination of getting the chance to spend extended time with the students and getting to know them, and also seeing the true impact we've had in completing projects that would have taken them multiple weeks to do otherwise without the help of 15 or so students and staff.
So what were the projects?
So the first week we all rode on the bus together over there, which was just super fun for me in general because I'm very extroverted. And so I love being in a space where there's a lot of people talking. And then when we got there, we ended up moving and building a ton of furniture deliveries that they had gotten. And I truly mean it would have taken them weeks if we had not been there. And it was very fun because I just love, when you're doing a project with someone, it's just such a great way to get to know them because you're kind of put in space with one another and given extra time to talk. And so I got to know the students a lot better. And then the next week, we ended up painting some dugouts at their baseball fields, which was also super fun. And we had some fun music playing and got to know the students better. It was great.
What is one of the things that drew you initially to Mount Brook Baptist?
Actually, this spring, I was in a season of job searching, really hungering to work in ministry. Since I've been at BSN, I felt like the Lord had called me to focus on my time of learning and letting Him pour into me. And so what worked looked like was being a barista or babysitting or teaching, all things that I really loved. But I've gained so much at BSN. I just had this hunger to start working in ministry. And so as I was looking around, one morning in particular, I actually journaled a prayer to the Lord, very honestly, that just said, Lord, is there a place for me? I think it is because I have grown up largely in non-denominational and Baptist settings, but just have this deep conviction and a call to be a leader as a woman in ministry. And the job searching experience made the issues of women in ministry even more relevant to me, thinking about spaces where I could and couldn't work. And after praying and honestly being a little frustrated with the Lord that morning, I was sitting in class and we had a tornado drill. And for the tornado drill, we went back down to the commons. So it was in the middle of when I was supposed to be in class, same day as this devotion and everything. And Joel was in the commons with cookies trying to talk to students, or BSN students, looking for a student ministry resident. And I walked away, and one of my friends said, hey, did you know that they have women ministers on staff? And I said, what? And just immediately had chills. Before I even knew whether or not it was going to work out for me to do ministry here, I believe that the Lord was correcting a lie that I was believing that there wasn't a space for me, because that wasn't true. There was a church in Birmingham doing faithful ministry and creating those spaces for women to do that. And so I ended up following up with Joel and met Joel and Ethan, and also knew Ada from BSN and had those conversations, Ada and Joe from BSN. And it worked out, and I'm so grateful. And I've loved getting to jump into youth ministry specifically, because it's just such a special time that the Lord works in these students' lives. And I'm so grateful to get to be a part of it.
Amen. And we're so glad that you're here. What is one spiritual discipline that helps you in your walk?
One of my favorite things to do is to journal through books of the Bible. So the way that I do that is, the journal that I always use is actually a Bible turned into journal form. You can actually buy individual books of the Bible on their own. And so it'll have, let's say I bought a Psalms journaling Bible. So it'll have the Psalms on one side and then spaces to journal. And what I like to do is always read the scripture on those pages before I turn the page to journal more, so that God's word is continually informing my processing of my day. Also, something that's very important to me in terms of spiritual discipline is that when I pray very honest prayers. Like I was just saying, I pray that very honest prayer to the Lord of, Lord, is there a space for me? And got to experience witnessing in real time the Lord respond by running into Joel in the commons. When we voice those very honest feelings and thoughts to the Lord, then now He has an opportunity to correct that thinking in real time. Because if we don't voice it, sometimes we don't actually even realize that that's how we're thinking and approaching the Lord. But once we voice it, He can correct those beliefs and show Himself to us.
Which connects so beautifully with the psalm that you read today. Would you make some commentary on that psalm?
Psalm 6 is a great example of what I'm talking about, actually. It's a lament psalm that begins with this honest outcry, but also reframes that outcry with an affirmation of the truth of who God is at the end of the psalm. One of the things that I love to do is to pray the psalms. And so something I would recommend is to take some of these verses we read today and actually pray them at the end of your prayers. Many of us have dealt with the experience of questioning, is God listening? Does God hear my prayer? And how powerful is it to finish praying and then pray these verses? The Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy, and the Lord accepts my prayer. Just saying that in the moment, the Lord accepts my prayer.
Thank you so much, Reagan, for joining the podcast, for reading for us, and for encouraging us in our faith. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. God, I thank you so much for the privilege of worshiping and being in community at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. God, I pray that your word would take root in our hearts today. God, you know our hearts and you know our needs and you know the needs of those who are listening. God, I pray that you would encourage everyone listening in their faith and that you would lead us along a path to glorify you. God, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for saving us and loving us so well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.